I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round three recap for this week's RBC Heritage. And joining me to break it all down, it's the coach. Hey, coach.
Yo, what's up, baby, man? Today was a good day, and we're seeing a resurgence. And I'm here for the story. It may be a blowout right now, but man, I'm into this. I really am.
It may be a blowout right now, but we're going to see how it all goes down tomorrow. And you can stream it on CBS Sports app, cbssports.com, or your local CBS Sports station. You can also watch via Paramount Plus. There are more ways to watch Stu Cink than ever before. Coach, he enters the day with a 5-shot lead. He exits the day with a 5-shot lead. It was a 2-under par 69. He fought off some of the closer chasers. Nobody ever really got that close. Stuart Cink is going to be 5 shots clear when he tees off on Sunday.
You know what's cool, Rick G, is that Amanda Balionis, I don't know, somewhere early in the broadcast today, she put up the full screen about how hard it is to go back-to-back low rounds on the PGA Tour. It's damn near impossible when you look at the numbers, and he did it. So you knew that today to go back-to-back-to-back was almost going to be impossible. So that 69 was almost as impressive to me as the 263s were because of some of the predicaments he got himself in. Like when he got that ball stuck behind the tree thing on whatever 12. Hole it was, 12, and him and his son just talked it out. And they said, okay, we're going to go right there. He hit it right there. Maybe the shot of the tournament, to be honest with you, but everything he's doing in complete control. And even though he shot a 2-under as opposed to an 8, I thought today was awfully impressive. Nobody could get any closer. And now he's at 18-under, maybe playing the best golf of his career.
I think that is true. Yeah, I actually didn't think so. I simultaneously think this round wasn't that great, but it was impressive, right? Because all of the things that you're describing, there were some situations he put himself in, and you're like, oh boy, this could be the spot. This is where he could get into trouble. That one on 12. So his ball is, if you didn't see it, his ball is resting on a fairly sizable stick, and he can't move the stick because if he moves the stick, he moves the ball. That's going to be an issue. So he's got to decide, coach, okay, I'm just going to blow this stick up. I'm just going to try to get as much ball as possible here. He ends up advancing it just off the green. He gets up and down from there, almost rolls it in, ends up making par. And that was one of the spots that you thought, if this kicks right, if this kicks left, there could be a big number here. But he was able to just kind of assess that situation, keep it under control, and not give back a ton of shots.
When I watch how he goes about it, us in the media, we love to latch onto a storyline that's sexy, that feels good. And the storyline of him and his son is a really, it's a cool storyline. It's feel good all the way around. There's nothing bad about it. But let's make his caddy not his son. Okay, just for a second. And let's just say he's a regular caddy on the PGA Tour and not his boy. It may be the best combo that's out on the PGA Tour right now because they're so loose. They allow the microphones to get so close to them that we're getting sound on CBS that normally we only get on PGA Tour Live. And we're hearing everything that they talk around. And so today when they got into trouble, they talked their way out of it. And then he hit the shot. I think part of the reason he's playing so well is because of his son. But now you look at the other players that are hoping and they're expecting him to make a mistake. They're expecting him to back up. His mistakes are now pars. They're not bogeys. And I think tomorrow he does win because I don't see him the way he's hitting the ball right now and the way he's hit the ball this entire year. This is not just this week, Rick.
Right.
He's third in the FedEx Cup. He's already won this season. This is not just, hey, he's showing up once. He's legit. His game is back. And he said yesterday, it was a great interview. They said, why are you playing so well? He said, I'm not done with this being my job yet. And I thought that was a super cool answer. I enjoy playing golf. I want to do it for a living. And I've got to work hard to do that because there's a lot of young dudes that are coming up. And he said, quote, they're not getting any worse. And I thought that was a great quote.
The routine that Stewart and his son Reagan have, it's kind of unflappable, Coach. I mean, they got put on the clock on his second nine for slow play. And now they've changed the rules and how they enforce this on the PGA Tour. So it's no longer the group going on the clock. It is literally Stewart Cink. You, sir, are on the clock. And he did not waver from that routine. And it showed, right? I mean, for him to get into the clubhouse at two under and keep his five-shot lead, I mean, he's just going to do the same thing on Sunday. He is going to go through the routine, and he's going to try to close out a five-shot lead, which has been done. Any idea how often a five-shot lead gets closed on the PGA Tour, Coach? Did you see this?
No, I did not see it. So the way you're setting that up, I'm going to say, I would think it'd be 80 to 90%, but I'm going to say 50.
It's 82%.
Okay, that's what it should be. That's what it should be.
Players, this is from Justin Ray, players with a five-shot lead through 54 holes on the PGA Tour in the last 15 years. There's only been 40 of them, and they've won it 33 times. So that's 82.5%. This would be his third win at this event. I think the last one was like, I think it was 2004. So we're talking like, it's been a while, but he could be back in the winner's circle tomorrow.
And think about this, because we don't talk about it often because most people in golf don't like to project out. But I love to hang my hat on the regular season is so much more important now than it's ever been before. And the reason I say that is because now of the way you tier yourself at the Tour Championship. So now if he wins tomorrow, think about this, Rick. He's almost guaranteed him because of the amount of points that he's going to have. He's almost guaranteed himself into the Tour Championship.
Yep.
Like, as long as he just shows up for the first two events, he'll probably make the Tour Championship. And now he's setting himself up to be the number one seed to start at minus 10, and everybody else is staggered behind him. Think about what this story could turn into. This is not just about the RBC heritage to me. It's about the long game, and he's smart enough and he's old enough to understand the math and understand if he wins these, that what it's going to mean come August and September, and it could be one of the stories, all-time stories on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, he's going to have a ton of points if he can close this one down. The closest chaser is Colin Morikawa, and Coach, Stewart Cink could literally be Colin Morikawa's father because Colin and Stewart Cink's son, Reagan, were born in the same year. That's what we have. That's what we have going on. Morikawa got off to a bit of a slow start on Saturday. He goes out in even par. He missed a lot of makeable putts. He had given himself looks all day. He was able to right the ship. He made four birdies on his inward nine, but he is going to play in the final group. So he'll be in the final group with Stewart Cink. He'll be able to keep an eye on him, but he's going to be five back. I think it might be too much, but if there's anybody who can do it, I think it's this guy.
It's too much because when you play in the final group, normally you want that leader to either be a first time champion, a guy that has never won a lot, or has never been in a position like this a lot. That's not who Stewart Cink is. He's a major champion. He's been there. He's made the money. He's third in the FedEx Cup. He's not going to be nervous that if he gives up the five-shot lead tomorrow, that's going to change his life. He doesn't need this victory. He damn sure wants it, but he doesn't need it. I think that takes a lot of pressure off of him playing with Colin Morikawa. And what does this also say about Colin Morikawa? That when he shows up at an off tournament, and this would be considered an off tournament, his game is still good enough when he's not making any putts to still be in second place when he has his B-minus game. And I would say B-minus, C-plus, because his iron game is so freaking good. This scares me if I'm the rest of the PGA Tour that Colin Morikawa is doing this when he clearly is not hitting the ball as good as he can.
Four wins in his last 39 starts for Colin Morikawa to illustrate what coach is talking about here. So let's remember, Stuart Cink is five shots clear, five shots better than Colin Morikawa, but it's Morikawa who leads the field in strokes gained tee to green. So we are really talking about the difference coming with the flat stick. Morikawa has lost a little bit over a stroke and Cink has gained nearly four. There's your difference, coach. That the flat stick alone, what has happened on the greens this week is the entirety of the separation between Cink and Morikawa.
And that's really the, you know, when you look at the top players, that is usually the difference. We say it about JT all the time. The putting is the difference. And now Morikawa is very, very quickly getting into that category that if he puts well, he's going to win. He's going to win. If he shows up and he puts well, that's how good he hits the ball. There is nobody, when we say he's the best iron player on tour, there's nobody saying, it's that guy. No, I don't think there's any disputing. You got like two dudes. It's JT, Morikawa, now three, and Corey Connors. Then it's a big drop in my mind to the next person as far as iron play is concerned. And that's why you see Corey Connors these days showing up every single week. He's not winning, but he's showing up. He's knocking on the door. Colin Morikawa is winning, and he's still showing up and knocking on the door. And we're starting to see guys being very, very consistent in that top 10 most weeks.
There you go. Producer Jacob, this is a good call. Showing my website here. So this is the strokes gain. Colin Morikawa, 12.02 from tee to green. Cink, 12.01. Literally, the only difference is coming in the putting. That's awesome. Great call there, producer Jacob. William Hill, our friends at William Hill, they say this is a one horse race and maybe like a one and a half horse race. So we've got Stuart Cink -250. He's the prohibitive favorite to win the 2021 RBC Heritage. Colin Morikawa, that man, five shots back, is +450. Those are really the only two that William Hill is giving credit to on Sunday, because the next closest guy, Emiliano Grillo, who is going to enter the day six shots back, is 20-1. So coach, it's seemingly Stuart Cink winning this or Colin Morikawa winning this. That is the way that William Hill is trying to tell us.
You know, when I do this, you know what I mean right here, right?
little sprinkle action.
A little sprinkle, baby. How about a little sprinkle on that 20-1? Because the last thing you're going to do, and if you're out there and you say, you know what, I'm going to put my money on Stuart Cink, do the math in your head. Let's just throw a few numbers out just to help people out here, Rick. So if it's -250 and you bet $1,000, you're going to win how much money?
$250.
No. $1,000. You're gonna only win like $250.
Sorry, you're gonna win right.
Yeah, like $200. So you look how much you have to bet just to get a little bit. So if you bet enough, say I know I did doing the math. In my head.
I did the math too. It's four hundred.
You gotta bet a whole bunch. Right. So $500 wins you $200. So you gotta it's all that type of stuff. Now why would you do that and then risk Colin Morikawa shooting a 62 or a 63? Or to me, you sprinkle a little bit and then you make up that money in head-to-head matchups. You just listen to really smart people like Rick G and myself and say, okay, tomorrow's a day that I don't do anything else except head-to-head matchups. It's not a day you bet on a winner.
So here's what I think is interesting. There are two, I think there's three paths. Stuart Cink does basically anything and wins the golf tournament. That's one path. The other path is Colin Morikawa, who is probably the only guy who can win this golf tournament without Cink imploding, goes out and shoots that 63, 64 and steals this thing. That's path number two. Mm-hmm. But path number three, I think, is more interesting, coach, which is Stuart Cink does implode. And imploding on a Sunday at RBC Heritage might be one over. If he does that, now a lot of guys are back in action. Emiliano Grillo's back in action. Matt Wallace is back. Sungjae Im is back. Hell, even Webb Simpson, who shot a 64 on Saturday and has been awesome at this course. So I think you've got to decide what path you think we're going to go down. If we go down path number three, you should be focusing on the sprinkles. If we're going down any other path, you got to decide if -250, I'm not betting that. Morikawa, 450. I'm not that excited about it. But if you think we get a little bit of a 73 from Cink, that opens up the rest of the field.
I'm going to be completely candid and honest with you, as I always am. One of my very good friends, acquaintances, perhaps business partner, is sitting number one in the DraftKings right now. His lineup, he has Cink, Morikawa, Matt Wallace, Corey Connors, Kevin Streelman, and one other person that I can't remember. But all six are within the top eight. I've never rooted, and I will never root so hard for Sink to implode in my life. Because if this person wins $200,000, I will never, ever hear the end of it. So let's go with your scenario number three, because just simply for that reason, I want it to happen. Do I think it's going to happen? Well, if you look back at some of Stuart Sink's performances this year, he could throw a 77 up there. He could throw a 78 up there. And if you look at some of his tee shots today off the tee, and he does that tomorrow, he may not be able to get that ball behind a stick onto the green like he did today. So he's got to figure out his off the tee game tomorrow so that he doesn't come out early bogey, Morikawa, two or three early birdies. Now, all of a sudden, it's a one or two shot game as we head to the back nine. And I could see that happening. I could.
Yeah, that is interesting. He hit especially early in his rounds, he hit a couple of loose tee shots that I thought he got favorable results from. Because once you get into that like hard pan sand that they have out there, you're in the luck of the draw. You could be behind a tree, could kick off a tree, go left. You have no idea what it's going to do. If you get a couple of bad bounces early, you make a bogey or two, maybe you make a double. This is a whole different ball game, especially with, I love the idea that Morikawa got into the final pairing. He can now keep a close eye. He starts throwing darts. I think Sink is going to win this, but there is certainly a path to Morikawa making this interesting.
I also think it helps Corey Connors, because I think Corey Connors, I don't think he's going to come back and win. I think if he would have got to 12 or 13 and then still been in the second to last group, it would have been better. But obviously where he is, I think for guys that have never won before and they get into the final group on a weekend, they start to press. And I think we saw Corey Connors press today because he wants to get that first victory so badly. Colin Morikawa is not in that category. He doesn't feel like he needs to press. He also understands that he's hitting it so good. He has the confidence of a world golf championship, of a major championship, of winning a regular golf tournament. He's done all three of those things. There's nothing that Colin Morikawa has not done in the last, 12 months? So
no, he's done
now, if you're sitting in his hotel room tonight, what are you telling yourself? You're saying, you know what? I've got magic in me. And this may be one of those weeks where I dazzle the world. I say, you know what? I won this way. But I've never won from coming five shots back. That would be what I would tell myself if I'm Colin Morikawa heading into tomorrow.
Before we get out of here, producer Jacob makes a great point, coach, and one that just 7 days ago made us some cashola. We have that same situation with Hideki and Xander, where Hideki had such a huge lead going into the final round. Mm-hmm. We might need to check the number on a Morikawa over Sink head-to-head tomorrow. Sink's got five to play with, doesn't have to keep the pedal down. Morikawa has one direction he needs to go. I'd like to see what that number is.
I'm telling you this right now, because we're always live on the air. We're always transparent. We do nothing without it being recorded. That if the number is less than minus 140, I will give it out as a personal play on the early edge tomorrow morning. If it's less than 140, I'm telling people right now, bet it and bet it big. I don't think it'll be under minus 140. But if it is, I am shooting it to the moon, because there is no way that Sink goes out and presses the gas pedal and gets it out to 20 or 21 under. That's not going to happen. It's not. And Colin Morikawa shooting a 67, that is going to happen.
I can't find it anywhere. It's not out yet. I was hoping it was going to be out. Okay. I love it. I couldn't find it anywhere. All right. That'll do it. We've got Stuart Sink trying to hold on to a five-shot lead on Sunday at the RBC Heritage. Either way, it's going to be a lot of fun. But for now, let me thank producer Jacob, who's doing all the hard work behind the scenes. Let me thank the coach, who you can find on Twitter at the Coach Rules, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.